Shalom Aleichem. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Memches, Sota 48a, pagination is 95. We're starting about midway in the smallest lines, describing certain takanos, legislations that were made by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Now, there's a discussion about who this Yochanan Kohen Gadol was. There were indeed a number of people during the second Beis Hamikdash with the name Yochanan who served as Kohen Gadol. But in any case, we'll discuss two of the things that the Mishnah outlines that he changed. He also stopped the people who were doing orer, awakening. You'll remember the word uri from the song Lecha Dodi that we sing Friday night. These people were trying to awake something. Maima orerim, what were they doing? Amar Rechava, Rechava said, B'chol yom v'yom shayu omdim levim al duchanan v'omrim. They would stand at the time of the levim song, and they would say, Ura lama sishan Hashem. Hashem should wake up, as if Hashem is sleeping. Amar lohen, Yochanan Kohen Gadol saw this, and he said, V'chi yeshina lefnei hamakom. Does Hashem sleep? We have a pasuk. Hashem does not slumber or sleep. So what is it that you're doing? So, when the Jewish people are in pain, and idol worshippers are doing well, that's the message of Hashem awakening. But people were getting the wrong idea. It sounded like they're waking Hashem up. So he stopped them from doing it. So, firstly, to appreciate what people were thinking, so we have this by the story of Eliyahu in the book of Malachim, where Eliyahu says to the Nevi'ei Habal, the prophets of the idol, maybe you should call out louder so that your God should hear you and he should wake up and he should accept your offering. And that was a typical taunt that we understood that the Jewish God doesn't sleep. But these other gods, who knows, maybe they're sleeping. So when people would hear that we're trying to wake Hashem up, so to speak, they would get confused. What indeed does this expression mean, if it doesn't mean to wake Hashem up because Hashem is up? So we have this concept that we do an analogy when Hashem doesn't influence free choice, when he allows things to progress, sometimes in a bad way. So we refer to it that Hashem made it as if he was sleeping. We find, for example, regarding the story of Megillas Esther, Balailo Ahu, it was on that night, Nodada Shnas HaMelech, that Hashem's sleep was disturbed. And the Mefarshim, including the Maharal, ask, Hashem doesn't sleep. What does that interpretation mean of the Pasuk? And they answer, Aval Yoshein Hu Min Hu Avono Shabayad Yisrael, because of the sins in the hands of the Jewish people, because of our shortcomings, Hashem makes it as if he's sleeping, as if he doesn't interfere with what's going on. Indeed, we find in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Vayikatz Ke Yoshein Hashem, Hashem awoke as if he was sleeping. And that's why the Nefesh HaChaim, in his discussion of how we can influence the world, describes it by use of the Pasuk, Tenu Oz LeElokim, grant strength to Hashem. How do you grant strength to Hashem? Hashem is the strongest. Hashem is all-powerful. What does it mean to grant strength? The answer is because Hashem, as strong as He is, doesn't always exhibit that strength. And tenu'oz le'lokim means act in a way that Hashem will be able to exhibit His strength. Act in a good way that welcomes Hashem in your life. The Gemara continues and tells us that they also had people who were nokfim. And these people were damaging an animal that was about to be shecht, about to be slaughtered. They would damage it in a way that a little bit of blood would go by the eye and would block the animal's vision, apparently in a way that didn't actually make it a mum, a blemish, but it appeared to be blemished on some level. And it was a confusing thing what they were doing to these animals, but it apparently made it easier for them to shecht the animal, because if the animal wasn't able to get a good visual, then it wouldn't fight as much and would be able to be shecht easier. Omad v'hiskin lohem taba'os bekarka, and instead, Yochanan Kohen Gadol established that they would have rings on the ground in which they would put the animal's head, neck positioned in a way that they could do the shechita smoothly, and they would no longer do this damaging of the animals before shechita. It's interesting to note that this gives us a dating on those rings that are so famously noticeable next to the Mizbeach in the pictures of the Beis HaMikdash. One would think that those rings came with the Beis HaMikdash. They were there in the Mishkan, and they were there in the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash. And we're finding out over here that they had other methods of shechita. It wasn't until the second Beis HaMikdash, whenever Yochanan Kohen Gadol actually lived, whether he was in the early part of the Beis HaMikdash or later towards the middle of the second Beis HaMikdash, but it was during the second Beis HaMikdash that those rings were introduced. We find a similar example of this in the Gemara Yuma Chaf Gimel, where we're told that they used to have a lottery to decide who would do the avoda, the service, early in the morning. And it was done, chosen by a lottery. But we're told that originally they used to race up the ramp of the Mizbeach, and only if there was a tie would they revert to a lottery. But otherwise, it was based on a race. And the way we have it is that it's a lottery, but that was only imposed during the time of Reb Tzadok, who lived during the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, the same Reb Tzadok who famously fasted for so many years to avert the Churban. So again, we have things that to us are familiar as the way the Avoda was done in the Beis HaMikdash, but they were only describing the end of the Beis HaMikdash after all of the legislations were in place. How was it practiced during the end of the second Beis HaMikdash? Yasher Koach, thank you for joining.